This is Peace Talks, the radio series on peacemaking and strategies for nonviolent conflict resolution.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
I'm Paul Ingalls. Each December 10th, on the anniversary of the death of Alfred Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize is presented to an individual who has exhibited an extraordinary commitment to peace. What would happen if some of the Nobel Peace Prize laureates spent up-close and personal time with teenagers around the world? That's what happens in a program called Peace Jam, which is our focus on this edition of Peace Talks.
I'm Carol Boss. Peace Jam is an international education program founded in 1996 in Denver, Colorado. It's built around Nobel Peace laureates who work personally with youth to pass on the spirit, the skills, and the wisdom they embody. The goal is to inspire a new generation of peacemakers who will transform their local communities, themselves, and the world. A few of the 13 participating laureates include President Oscar Arias, the Dalai Lama, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and Rigoberta Menchu Tum. Since Peace Jam was launched 9 years ago, almost 200,000 teenagers worldwide have participated in the program. I'm pleased to welcome our guests today, Kerry Thorne, director of Peace Jam New Mexico, Roy Parker, a senior at Santa Fe High School, this is his second year in the program, and Pearl Williamson, also a senior at Santa Fe High. She, too, was in last year's class. Both Pearl and Roy are currently interning with the program. Thanks, all of you, for being here today. Kerry, why don't you begin by briefly telling us the story of the founding of Peace Jam?
Well, Peace Jam started with a guy who was an artist in the barrio areas of Denver. And he basically grew up with all of these kids playing stickball, and everybody got along and were great friends. And as they got to be teenagers, everybody started packing guns, and kids started dying. And he said to them, he said, why are you guys doing this? You know, you all grew up as friends. What is this about? And basically, he didn't get an answer. They didn't seem to have any response to that. And one day, he brought up Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu, and they knew who they were. And he was like, you guys know who Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu are? And they're like, yeah, they're our heroes. And he's like, wait a minute. If they're your heroes, then why are you guys carrying guns and killing each other? This doesn't make any sense. And so he got this brainstorm that, gosh, let's put teenagers together with Nobel Peace Prize laureates. And so it was really kind of like on a whim that this whole program began. And he got in touch with a friend who had worked with, she had worked in Congress. She was like a woman who would prep senators and congressmen before they went up to give their speeches. And she had worked a lot with the Dalai Lama on the Tibetan issue. And so he called her and he said, what do you think about this idea? And she said, well, I think it's a totally wild idea. I think it's, you know, probably very challenging to do, but, you know, let's see what we can do. Let's go meet with the Dalai Lama. So they flew to Tibet, or to Dharamsala, actually. The Dalai Lama lives in India, in Dharamsala. And they met with him, and he said, I think it's a wonderful idea, but what I would like you to do is ask the other Nobel Peace Prize laureates, and let's pull together a team of Nobel Peace Prize laureates who are really interested in education in a bigger way. And so that's how Peace Jam was formed.
Ryan Pearl, I want to ask both of you, what drew you to Peace Jam, and what caught your interest? Let's start with Pearl.
I remember I was at Santa Fe Prep when I was first introduced to Peace Jam, and someone stood up and they said, if anyone would like to discuss peace every Tuesday, we meet every Tuesday, and if you'd like to join us, please do. And it was kind of this idea that kind of struck out in my head, like, if I want to discuss peace, which sounded like this great idea to me. And once I got into the program, I was so inspired. I got focused. It was like we had all these great ideas, and it was my first Peace Jam weekend that kind of continued my interest. It was like 300 kids in a room with an Nobel Peace Prize laureate talking about peace and just feeling excited about being able to produce that.
What about you, Roy?
Well, the truth is, I entered the Peace Jam class. It was my junior year, and I was going into the second semester, and I was still kind of messing around a little myself, and I kind of just wanted to take an easy class. And, you know, I went in there expecting, you know, to be able to get an easy grade so I could get the credit and, you know, try to get out and graduate. And I ended up falling into something that actually it pulled, you know, pulled me to it. The issues that are dealt with in this class, they let you take a different perspective of things.
Well, the curriculum of Peace Jam consists of studying about violence and racism. And I know you participate in a case study of a Nobel Peace Laureate, and you also design and implement a community service project. I'd like you to share what you've learned about peacemaking. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Pearl?
I think when we first start the class, we discuss what is violence and then what is peace. And we have like 20, 30, 40 characteristics of what peace is. And we spend probably the next 3 months until we go in talking about how we can encourage that peace in ourselves or what area of peace we want to work on. And I discussed passion. I wanted to increase my passion and what that meant to me. Like, what was my passion? I wanted to know what it was. And through doing that, I kind of found out that doing peace was my passion. The more I talked about what inspired me, what lit me up when I was doing my day-to-day experiences, it was helping others. And to me, that was like that. I mean, I want to be a teacher, and I didn't really know that before this class. Suddenly I realized that my passion is to help others, and without this curriculum, I wouldn't be able to do that. And my passion is peace, and that's something that I learned through the class.
And Rye, what about you? What have you learned about peacemaking, and what do you think it means to be a peacemaker?
I think to be a peacemaker is basically having an understanding of your surroundings and the world around you, of what's really going on, what you deal with on a day-to-day basis, people you meet. It's how you treat them, how they treat you, what you put out to the world.
Is it for you more about thinking about others than yourself?
Yeah, it is more about caring for others. But at the same time, doing well for yourself. Because in order to take care of others, you need to be taking care of yourself as well. Try to get in the right mind state and everything. That's kind of what this class has helped me to do. I was doing a lot of things back in my junior year that I shouldn't have been doing. I come from a town up north called Española, and you can get caught into a lot of stuff. Drugs, sex, violence, and this class has just kind of helped, you know, bring out a truer side of me.
Carrie?
I think a lot of what we look at is truly how do we become more of what our essence is, rather than getting caught out in the behaviors and the judgments and the craziness of the world. A lot of what happens in this classroom, it becomes a very internal question as well as an external question. So we're kind of always going back and forth. So how do we touch that deeper essence? How do we find that inside of each person? And as we do that, people tend to come into a deeper state of peace.
And it's not only an internal process, it gives you an opportunity, this program, to work in your community because you also create these service projects. I was hoping you could tell us what projects you've been involved with and what problems you think they are addressing. Pearl?
The first project I was involved in was actually, it's a coalition project that has a lot of schools involved. It's now really big. It's almost in every school in Santa Fe we're working together. But in the beginning, it was just Santa Fe Prep and the Santa Fe Indian School. And we decided that what we found was the big reason for violence was poverty. Poverty increased a lot of violence in the world. And we decided we wanted to help decrease poverty. And by doing that, we decided we would form a fair trade store. Fair trade is where the products that we sell will be ensured that the people who made them are getting a living wage, so that will decrease poverty. And we're trying to open a nonprofit organization store that ensures that all of our products will be from fair trade, and then the excess money will go to Peace Jam.
You said that it's in most of the schools in Santa Fe. Does that mean that you've brought in other students to work with this? It's not just the Peace Jam students.
Well, it's Peace Jam students from all of the schools in Santa Fe. We've kind of come together to make it this bigger project. It was like as soon as the idea was formed, other students became interested. Everyone was like, I want to help out with that project too. Let me put in some time on the weekend to help sell those stuff. So almost all of the people that we're going to hire as our employees will be volunteers who work at the store to like just make more money for the store, to make more money for the people who need money in other places and for this program.
And we just signed a lease on a little place. So the 1st of March, we have got a site. So this is actually beginning. So it has become a larger thing beyond Peace Jam that teenagers are getting involved in.
So, Ryan, why don't you talk to us about your project? You're working with middle schoolers, aren't you?
We've been able to go into the Vargas Middle School, and I will be working and talking with some of the youth there, some of the 7th and 8th graders, dealing with a lot of the things that they're going through. Of course, middle school is one of those transitional phases, and a lot of kids deal with depression. A lot of kids have a lot of stuff going on with their family life, you know, getting caught in the gangs, different sorts of, there's just all different sorts of stuff to, you know, sedate your mind.
What would that sound like if, imagine perhaps that, although we're not, a group of 7th graders, how do you make them care?
To make them care, you have to get them to a point where they realize that they're all the same. We all have pain. We all focus on pain. Some tend to dwell on it more than others, but we all have the same color of blood when it all comes down to it. And we would keep each other going. When I do start this with the middle schoolers, I'll kind of ask them their names and then what they've ever been made fun of in their lives for. I mean, you know, each of them feeling what they've, you know, the pain that they felt throughout. What have they ever been teased about? I mean, kind of bring out something that a lot of kids hide on a day-to-day basis. A lot of the youth these days, they go to school, and it's kind of like they wear a mask just to cover up their true emotions and what's really going on inside their mind. A lot of kids resort to drugs these days. A lot of kids resort to, you know, homies or gangs. I want to try to get these kids to realize that there's a whole nother level of things out there and that life is real. And it's very hard and it's a beautiful struggle, but you gotta love it no matter what, because this is gonna be our future. I don't want a lot of these kids as blind as oblivious to as many of the issues that there are out there.
My name is Carol Boss, and I'm talking today with Kerry Thorne, who is director of Peace Jam New Mexico. And with her is Rye Parker and Pearl Williamson, both seniors at Santa Fe High School, and they are both participants in the Peace Jam program. Kerry, I was wondering if you can think of a particular meeting or encounter between a Peace Laureate and a young person that really stands out for you that you might want to share that keeps you doing this work.
You know, my first time I took kids to Peace Jam, I went to go see Desmond Tutu, and I took up a really imbalanced group of kids. I had a couple that were suicidal. I had a couple that were wearing dog collars, and the hair was going in every direction, and we went to Denver. And so everybody who went up, of course, my kids were coming from Santa Fe, and they felt very out of place walking into Denver, which was very conservative. Everybody, you know, kind of looked the same, and here they really stood out, and they were not balanced. They honestly were, you know, in some tough places. And so anyway, the second day, each morning in the ceremony of inspiration is different depending upon the Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And so Desmond Tutu happens to be an Anglican bishop. So his ceremony of inspiration was basically a church service, kind of like a church service, but basically he had people singing. And so I look out at my group who was pretty raw looking, and he's got them singing in around, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And they were like 3-year-olds. They were like having the best time, and they were so excited, and they were so touched by just the simple elegance of this man, you know, and he had them all stand up and say, "I am a very special person. I am a very special person." This is this very simple, you know, kind of gentle way of dealing with this group of, you know, 300 teenagers. And I mean, they came away so absolutely in a state of ecstasy. I mean, this one girl was like, "I want to marry Desmond Tutu." You know, he's this 80-year-old man. "I've never met anybody like that before." And I went, "Wow, this works." And they totally reversed where they were. And by the time we were driving home, they were just like, this is great. And we felt received. And it was just an amazing experience to watch kids coming from such different places and to find that they could find a unity with each other and that they could overcome those places of separation they were doing inside of themselves.
I want to ask both Rye and Pearl about inspiration, how you've been inspired by what you've learned. Pearl?
The program has taught, teaches people how to care by Carrie caring about her students. But I think the only way to learn how to care for people is to be cared by others. And I think that's really what this program is all about. I think the moment, I mean, I think I'm thinking of Kelly or Jody Williams 2 years ago when she gave her lecture.
Jody Williams is a Nobel Peace Laureate.
Yes. It was, you know, a room full of 300 people and half of them were crying. You know, like teenagers generally try not to cry in public because we don't want to be embarrassed that we would. But she was talking about when she had just been arrested like the week before for a protest that she had done. And she's talking about how it was something she had to do because she had to do it. It's something that, you know, once you get that, once you start doing service for others, it's something you have to keep doing. It's something like you, once you are informed that you can help others and that it's the right thing to do, you can't stop doing it. It's what you have to do. It kind of like gets in your blood. It's something that like you have to do because if you don't do it, you feel you don't feel alive. And I think that's like the inspiration that's motivated me through the program is that you can see it in every, you know, the Nobel Peace Laureates, Peace Prize Laureates come every year, and each one you can see it. They have to do it. It's part of their life. It's part of who they are. If they don't do it, they aren't really letting themselves be who they are. And I think this program does the same thing. It shows you how you can change and how you can create peace in your own life and how, like, if you can create peace within yourself, you can create peace within the community, you can create peace within the world. And then once you start doing that, you can't stop.
Ryan, I want to ask you about inspiration. It sounds like from what you've told us so far that this really has brought some changes in your life and there has been some transformation for you.
Well, as Pearl said, you know, one of the main inspirations actually comes from the teacher herself, Miss Carrie Thorne. And when you do have a teacher who cares about her students, then it brings it out of yourself to care for the others around you. It's kind of funny, I guess in the beginning of the semester, I tried to push, you know, try to push away and keep away from Miss Thorne, just because I'm kind of a personal person myself. But no matter what I did, she was still there, and she still cared. And that, you know, I was puzzled by that. I was like, you know, why is this person still doing this? Why is this person still trying to reach out to me? I mean, I want to do my own thing. But, of course, Miss Thorne has inspired this. Rigoberta Menchutum, when I saw her at the conference and we researched about her, we learned of her life stories and her past, and she inspired me herself to be able to look at this little lady who has gone through so much, so many tragic events throughout her life, and still stand up on stage with her about 300-400 kids and smile, still be happy to be alive. It's quite an amazing thing to be able to see something like that.
Is there a stigma for young people such as yourself in terms of working for peace where people, there might be other young people who think that's not a cool thing to do?
I would say it's less of a stigma. It's more of a surprise. I think, I think it's a surprise for our peers to know that kids who do exactly what they're doing also spend their free time working with Miss Thorne or going into classrooms to help students or just simply cleaning up when they can because they want to. And I think our generation is one of, I guess, laziness, one that isn't really very motivated. And I think especially when you have an image of just being a normal teenager and yet you're doing extraordinary things, which any teenager can do, and anyone who's trying to help for peace is an extraordinary person, it's a surprise for a lot of students. And I think it's a good surprise. I think it's one that people kind of, I don't know if they're inspired, but it kind of makes them think a little bit more. And thinking is the first process towards creating peace, so...
Well, right. I would imagine that some of your old peers in your hometown were probably very surprised at the path that you decided to take. Is that the case?
Well, those who know about it, yeah, I think they find it quite funny that this old homie of theirs is out there trying to change the world. But
was it a little hard for you? Were there any friends who tried to pull you away from what you were doing?
I don't think I really had anybody tell me, look, bro, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. I mean, I pretty much have support for doing what I'm doing. I mean, I have respect from my friends as well as my family. And when you have respect, you can be able to do these things and be acknowledged for it.
I was going to add to that. I think for me, I think a lot of people had an image that if you wanted to help create peace, you had to be this perfect person. You know, they viewed a peacemaker as Mother Teresa. And as much as she is a peacemaker, you know, I can be one but and not be perfect. And I think a lot of people, when I try to kind of like focus in on these things or explain what I'm doing, they question it. Like, why do you do that? How can you do that when you've done this and this and this? And it's not... Being a peacemaker isn't being perfect. It's working on humanity, and humans are flawed. And I think for a lot of people who don't really get what a peacemaker is, they view your flaws as something that will hinder you from creating peace. But they just kind of, I think they strengthen you as a peacemaker.
This is Peace Talks, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm Carol Boss. We're talking about Peace Jam, a program that brings Nobel Peace Laureates together with young people. Our guests are Kerry Thorne, director of Peace Jam New Mexico, and two students who are engaged in the program, Pearl Williamson and Rye Parker. Where do you think this work, your inspiration, is going to take you? Do you envision yourself as a peacemaker in the future?
A peacemaker. I think you can be a peacemaker with the actions that you do on a day-to-day that affect the people around you. Just by from the simplest things, you know, like a kind gesture, a simple smile. So many of these things that we overpass these days that can bring happiness about the world.
I think there's the simplest things are the most important. I think the emphasis of creating peace in your community is finding peace within yourself and accepting it as who you are. And the second, I think, is trying to understand others. I think that's probably the biggest reason why there isn't peace is because of judgments made. If you can understand another, you can view them as you're on the same level, and you can help, and you want to help someone who's like you. And I think, if you can understand why someone might be running that red light, you might decrease your road rage. And that's a simple act of peace. But if you understand that they might be running late and that you've done that too, you're less angry. I mean, those are really, really simple things you could do. But it's the form of understanding that makes it so possible for peace to happen.
And what about you, Pearl, in terms of where this inspiration is going to take you are you going to take it with you into the future?
I actually hope to take the program with me into the future. I plan on becoming a teacher, and ideally I'd love to teach elsewhere besides New Mexico, because Carrie's got New Mexico pretty down. And, kind of spread the program. It varies all over the world, but it's not everywhere, and I think it needs to be. I think it's something every child should be given the opportunity to learn about peace if they can. So I'd love to ideally take the program with me wherever I go and try to expand upon it.
The Peace Jam program culminates each year with the Peace Jam Youth Conference, and that's coming up April 16th and 17th in Santa Fe. And there's going to be young people from the region, I think that's New Mexico, Arizona, and West Texas, spending the weekend working with the 1996 Nobel Peace Laureate José Ramos Horta from East Timor. Kerry, if you could tell us briefly about this conference, the theme, and how the youth will be involved.
Jose Ramos Horta left East Timor 3 days before Indonesia invaded. So he was actually working for East Timor was an independent country, and he left on a diplomatic mission 3 days before Indonesia invaded. Anyway, so he basically worked with the UN for the next 25 years while Indonesia occupied East Timor to look at a plan for an occupied country to get regain its sovereignty and democracy. And so he really kind of set up the template and saw it all the way through for East Timor to become the newest democracy on the planet, which was in 2002. So students will have learned all about this and will be meeting with him. During the event, they hear from him and then have the opportunity to ask him questions. They do all sorts of wonderful service projects all over Santa Fe. We have a wonderful thing happening this year. We have Amy Goodman coming to interview Jose Ramos Horta, and she'll be meeting with the kids in the evening time before she goes to the public event. So that'll be going on. So they'll probably be talking about media and how that's working in the world today and those issues. Then on Sunday, we do a wonderful thing called the Ceremony of Inspiration, sort of like the questions you asked Pearl and Rye, what inspires you? And kids stand up in front of 300 people and just pour their hearts out. I've never been through it without kind of tears coming down my cheeks. It's quite an amazing day. And then kids go to workshops. We have wonderful people from all over the world who come and do workshops. We have students from the United World College who are mentors in the family group. So we probably have 80 kids from around the world who are facilitating all of the high school students who are going through the event. It's a pretty powerful event. It's a world-class event that happens with teenagers, and that's pretty unusual.
Carrie, if you can give some information for young people in terms of how they can find out more about the program if they think they might want to engage in this.
Well, you can look on the website, which is peacejam.org, and get some information about the actual program and kind of give it to a teacher, a counselor, a sponsor, an adult sponsor who might be interested in kind of helping you get the program together. Oftentimes, kids will start programs in their schools because they get so excited and they're like, I want to do this. And they inspire faculty to get involved with it. This is a curriculum that gets dropped into a classroom, normally English, social studies, health. So you might want to look at teachers who are along those lines. But it can be an after-school program. For instance, when Pearl first got involved at PrEP, it was an after-school program. So there are a number of different ways to do it. They can also get in touch with me. You can try peacejamnm@aol.com. You can get in touch with me, and I can help you sort of find teachers who might be interested.
And the Peace Jam Youth Conference is coming up April 16th and 17th. There's going to be a public talk on Saturday, April 16th at 7 p.m., Amy Goodman will be in conversation with Jose Ramos Horta. By the time you hear this, it may be sold out. So, Carrie, is there a number where people can find out information?
Yes, the Lensic, which is 505-988-1234.
Thanks so much, Pearl Williamson, Rye Parker, Carrie Thorne of Peace Jam, New Mexico.
Peace Talks, the radio series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution, is produced by Good Radio Shows Incorporated, a nonprofit media company creating radio programs and online content meant to inform, inspire, and improve the human condition. Support for the program comes from contributions from listeners like you and from the McCune Charitable Foundation, making grants to enrich the cultural life, health, education, environment, and spiritual life of the citizens of New Mexico. Additional support from the Peace Tales CD Project, online at peacetales.org. We also had assistance from KUNM at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. To hear past programs or for more information, visit us online at peacetalksradio.com. That's peacetalksradio.com. Music in today's program came from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Ali Adelman. Join us for our next Peace Talks program Friday, April 29th at 8 a.m. as we explore the death penalty as an issue of peace. We'll talk with death penalty abolition activist, musician Steve Earle, and hear a report on efforts in New Mexico to ban the death penalty. For Carol Boss, I'm Paul Ingalls. Thanks for listening.